tonight. And I said last night that there is a great controversy over whether the thunders have uttered. That's right. I may go to the west, I may go to the east, I may go along the east, I may go south and north, and I will find people who look askance when I say the thunders have uttered. Now, the only way to settle this is to go to the Word of God. I don't believe there's any other way to settle it. Of course, we can take direct statements from Brother Branham, which we'll do tonight, but I believe the best way to see where we stand is to keep in that Word according to the pattern which was laid out before. You know, if there is only one way to open an impregnable door, and that is with a key, and someone is gracious enough to give the key, then it is certainly wrong on the part of the people not to use the key. Now remember, the key is not the door. The key is the key. And there's what we have with Brother Branham. His message is the key. Because in there lies all the keys, or all the roots, of all revelation in the Word of God. Now, you'll notice that on his tape, he has said he didn't have time to do anything but hit the high spot. Therefore, it is up to those who are somewhat able to delineate upon the Word of God by the help of the Holy Spirit to take those keys and set forth what is in that Word based in the keys that the prophet gave us. Last night I made mention to you the fact that we're at the harvest time, the end time. Therefore, every time you see something relative to the binding of tares, the burning of the chaff, the burning of anything, it refers to this age. It doesn't refer to another age. So when we took Hebrews 6, 1 to about 10 last night, I was not teaching you one thing that the prophet did not teach you. I simply took the key that he laid down, which was what? The anointed one of the end time. Not the first time, not the middle time, not the two-thirds time, not the five-sixth time, but the seventh time. The whole of it. See, we use the key. So therefore I know I stand what I taught last night to be absolutely scriptural. No doubt about it. Without being presumptuous, I say with all my heart, as I used to check in Brother Branham's life, from the keys he gave, I say, Brother Branham, is this thus and so? And I can still recall the smile in his eyes because he was glad we were getting it. He'd say, that's exactly right. And then add to it. Say, that's right and go on. So we know where we stand as long as we stand with that Word. Not with what anybody else said, but what the prophet has said. See? And then be careful to remember that the Bible says it is written. But remember, it is also written. There is the written and the also written. There is Brother Branham said, and he also said. And you better watch what he said and what he also said. We've got to watch that. I do my best. I know you do your best. But it's just a matter of a little exhortation to help us all that we might not go astray. Now, I want to speak tonight, therefore, on the seven seals and the seven thunders, and before we do, let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Eternal Father, we come to you at a very critical moment of this service. And I know, Lord, that people's hearts are in great expectation. Not because I am here, Lord, as any important individual, that's not so. But to go into the Word, Lord, according to what your prophet has already opened up to us, and going not further than he, and not less than he, we hope, but going just as he did. And then with that key, taking exactly what was said, and viewing many scriptures from it. Lord, let us be helped tonight by your Holy Spirit in this thing. Shut the mouth, O God, where it ought to be shut, and don't even be said, Lord, that mustn't be said. And Lord, blind any heart that would take anything but the truth, and open every heart to what is truth. That we together might be one, Lord, a real bride, virgin of the Word bride, O God, that will not be in any error, but now, since the Holy Spirit has been loosed from the creeds and dogmas, we may come into the light. Help us, Lord, now we pray, and we shall give you the glory, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to read in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and We'll read the first seven verses, and then we'll read also in Revelation 10, the first seven verses. Notice 5:1-7, double it, 10:1-7. I believe that's good, not by accident, but by the right way the Spirit had the book laid up. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits that God sent forth into all the earth. And he, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. All right, Revelation 10:1-7. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, heavenly being, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as still as a fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea, and upon the earth, lift up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are there, and the sea and the things which are therein, that time should be no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. Now, I believe it is well to attempt from these scriptures to study the word of God relative to the seals and the thunders. The seals as in Revelation 5:1-7, and the thunders in Revelation 10:1-7. And then perhaps we can see clearly what they are about. Now, not only what they are about from a simple scriptural viewpoint, but relate them to our time, because it's necessary that we know if they are related to us. Now, let us examine, first of all, the seal. To do so, we take the fifth chapter and notice in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Now, you'll notice it is one book. It is not two books, three books, four books, 5, 39, 27. It is one book. That is what it is. It is written in the form of a scroll. For it is written completely on the inside and on the outside. So therefore, you cannot take from it or add to it under any consideration. It's completely covered on both sides of one continuous piece of paper. It is one continuous piece of writing rolled up in a scroll, which constitutes a book. Thirdly, you will notice it is sealed with seven seals. Now, that means nobody can get to it. Now, if you took that book like we might have tonight, and we put the seals on it, you might look and you catch a word, and you say, "Well, I think it has to do with this." Somebody else look and they maybe catch a little phrase between those seals, and they say, "Well, I got to figure it this way." And somebody else look and he catch another word just visible on the outside, and he said, "Well, I think maybe this is it." But nobody knows for sure. You can guess all you want. And there has been a lot of guessing. But there isn't anybody knows. As long as that book is sealed, there isn't anybody can get to it. They could guess at it. Now notice also, it's sealed with seven seals. Not one seal, and not two seals, and not three seals, and four seals, and five seals, or six seals, or 20 seals, or 70 seals, or 66 seals. It's seven seals. One book with seven seals. And in the Greek, the word seals is a special word. It's sealed closely, or sealed tightly down. In other words, those fields not just close together, but they have a strong bond, letting you know that it will be very difficult to open that book. Something very, very hard, and also greatly protected, very secretive, secret as you may say. Fourthly, the contents of this book cannot be known unless the seals are broken and the writing is brought into view. Now notice what I said. I said you cannot know the contents of this book until and unless, or unless and until, the seals are broken and the writing, inside and outside, are brought into view. Fifthly, you will notice the book is in heaven, and therefore being it being heaven's possession, it will be opened and displayed there. That's right. It'll be opened and displayed there. Notice the truth of this. Revelation 4, 1 to 3. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me and said, come up hither. Got to get up there. Not in earth. You got to be caught up to the heaven. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that was to look upon was like a jasper and a sardine stone, and a rainbow was around about the throne, in sight like a memo. Now the beginning of the fourth verse here, that's where as far as I need to go. Revelation 5 and 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and sealed heaven to a seven seal. See, where is the book? It is in heaven. It is heaven's possession, and according to the scripture, John was caught up in order to see what was going to come, and it pertained to this book. See? Now, sixth point, you will notice the revelation of this book is the most important thing in heaven at this time. The most important thing in heaven this time. But strange to say, that with all those beasts, wonderful creatures, the cherubim, and the mighty men, because those elders are no doubt men, and even the king on the throne, they have to have a man to do it. See? Now, that's what you got to get a hold of. There's got to be a man involved. Because that's what it says. It didn't say there was a beast that might do it. It didn't say there was a cherubim might do it. It didn't say there was an angel might do it. It didn't say there was a company might do it. It says a man could not be found. So therefore, you know right away that you got to find a man. See, it's left to a man to do it. See, none of these can do it, so a man must be found. But if a man can be found worthy, then that book can be opened. Now we know that's the truth. All right? Revelation 4, 4 to 11. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now the reason I believe these are men is because they had on white raiment, to my knowledge, that belongs to the people. God's people, God gives them to men. I don't know that he gives them to anybody else. See? And they had in their heads crowns of gold. And I believe that obtains to people too. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those four beasts give honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their thrones, the crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And the second verse of chapter 5, And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book, and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, neither in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. See? They're looking for a man to open that book. He cannot find a man. Now, what man will be worthy above the one sitting on the throne to take the book and to break the seals and reveal the content? See? What one will be worthy? Now, the one sitting on the throne doesn't open the book. Evidently, there is something here that would stop him from doing it. So they're looking for a man to do it. Now, the Bible tells us here in the 5th and 7th verses, and one of the elders said to me, weep not, behold, the tribe, the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven, even to loose the seven seals of that word in the Greek case. It can be a conjunction of the word even. In this case, it's definitely prevailing to open the book even by the loosing of the seals. See? That's right. You look it up. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, let's just take a look at this, and we go to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, and we see who this one is. Philippians 5, 2 rather, sorry, 5:11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that's the very form of Almighty God, that's the, what the, in the Greek here, this is the literal substance, see, thought it not robbery, or thought it not a prize, to something to grasp and retain, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, not to death, even to death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, what, this man, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So who is this supreme one? The one who is above all, because he is above all, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a man, because it is the man, Christ Jesus. See? Alright. Only the Lamb can do it. Now notice that. Only the Lamb, the man, Christ Jesus, can do it. No one else can do it. No one. No bishop can do it. No cardinal can do it. No pope can do it. No college president can do it. No group of people can do it. Only the Lamb can do it. And remember, the Lamb was the man, the sacrifice, because that's what he was. He became in our likeness to become that Lamb, take away the sin of the world. Therefore, God has exalted him. He's above everything. And it's this one. There is no man can do it. William Branham couldn't do it. I know many times we say he opened the seals, but I got news to you. William Branham did not open those seals. And if you say he did, you make him an antichrist. Because an antichrist doesn't mean against Christ, it means instead of Christ. And there's nobody but the Lamb can open it. Now then, that makes us to know one thing. If only the Lamb can open that book, and that book has something to do with us, then that means that the Lamb must come into such plain, absolutely unchallenged view of the people of the day that that book is open, that the people of that day know who opened the book, and they know the book is open. Or how do you know the Lamb did it? Good question. It has a good answer because the question is the answer. So we will have to know that it is he himself doing it, because that's what the scripture says, and we abide by the scripture. Now, just taking the book out of the hand of him upon the throne turns loose such a jubilee in heaven and earth that it gives matchless praise unto the Lord God. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. And the Lamb came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. They got so blessed, they sung a new song. They got so anointed, they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and lo, the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb of flame to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You know something? By the time that those seven seals are completely open, we are already there. Brother Branham said, the seventh seal is the end of all things and puts you in the millennium. This proof. He never used the scripture, to my knowledge. I'm using it. But he said it. And there's your key. Seven seals. Right? You know your case as well as I do. All right? Taking that book will bring this to pass, this jubilee, this great consummation. Why did just the taking of the book do it? Because now the revealed word in that book can come into existence. Manifestation. All it takes is to break, now listen carefully, all it takes is to break the seal and to read the book. Because don't forget, the book was to be opened and read. Right? Now let us see what the Lamb does when he takes the book and see what happens by him possessing that book. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Number 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Number 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. Number 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Number 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And in verse 12, and I beheld him open the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became a smoke. And you can read this chapter now. And in chapter 8, verse 1, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. But you notice that nothing is read. Nothing is read when the seals are open. That's right. Yet he was supposed to take the book and open it and read it. Is that correct? Well, let's find out. Let's not jump around and just guess. It says here that the book was sealed, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. Yet, oh, how the people love to try to find out that those two little words between those seals. That's why the Bible said, don't even bother looking. Do you know that I was 22 years of age when God showed me, don't even look? Now, I'm not smart. I'm not erudite. I'm not even spiritual as far as spirituality is. But I knew that when I was 22 years of age. You just don't get it. It takes something what the prophet called reading between the lines. It takes revelation. Now, he said, don't even look. Don't peek. But all those books that they tried to peek and guess and everything else, everybody's got peekaboo edition. And the men love to go look at the peekaboo books, don't they? Kind of bunch of old dogs. So everybody tried to go and peekaboo in the book. Said, don't even look. You ain't going to get it. You're going to foul up. But somebody has to not just look. He's got to open the book, and he's got to read it. See? That's right. You will notice nothing is read when the seals are open. In fact, between the sixth and seventh seal, that's chapter 7, John simply sees a vision of the 144,000 being sealed. You will also notice the Lamb does not even speak. That's right. At the first seal, John hears a thunder and a beast, not the Lamb, saying, come. What John sees, he writes down. He sees, first of all, four symbols of the first four seals. And no commentary, no comment is made on them. From the content of those first four seals, it is easily seen that what John sees in heaven, in symbol form, has to happen on earth. Because there are horses ridden, and they're conquering, and they're killing, and they're selling, and they're buying, and they're fooling people, and that does not go on in heaven. That's only on earth. Seals 5 and 6 have no beast speaking. But in Theophilus 5, a further scene, a further unrevealed scene, undesignated. It's there, but it doesn't, it's unexplained, that's the word it's used, unexplained scene, of souls under the altar, crying for vengeance comes into view. Nothing is said as to where they are, except their souls under an altar, or as to who they are. They're crying for vengeance. And in seal 6, heaven and earth are shaken with such intensity and ferocity that the inhabitants of the earth are panic-stricken with many, if not all, the inhabitants in absolute terror of Almighty God. Then, as I've said, John has a lengthy vision of the 144,000 sealing of the Israelites at the time of the sixth seal. Now, we know it is the sixth seal by the comparison of Scripture. Notice, chapter 7, 1 to 2. After these things, I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels of the earth to whom was given hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And in chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon came as blood. The stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely fig, when it is when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. See, well, that's this number six. That's the sixth seal, and the same thing is mentioned over here when the 144,000 are being sealed. So it's under the sixth seal that the 144,000 are being sealed. Now then, I see, notice I said, there was only symbols and nothing said about it. Symbols, nothing read, picture came out. Then there came seal 5, souls under the altar. Then there came seal 6, with the tribute, with the great plagues and all, and the earthly cataclysmic conditions. The sealing 144,000, and then seal number 7. Now it is time for seal number 7, which is completion, because 7 is completion. Now, the Lamb opens the seventh seal. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven about the space of a half an hour. You will notice that John does not see anything, and John does not hear anything. It is a complete blank. There is not even a symbol to the seventh seal. But there is a seventh seal. Because the Lamb opened the seventh seal. It is absolutely a complete mystery, except for one little thing. It has a duration of the space of about a half hour. Don't say it's a half hour, because it's not a half hour. It is about a half hour. All right? Let us go on. The book that was in the hand is taken and opened. Where is the book? It is in the hand of the Lamb. Verse chapter 5 and 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, what do you take something with? You take a hand. All right? If the hand on the throne is right-handed, what is the Lamb's hand? It's the right hand. So where is the book? The book is in the right hand of the Lamb. Now, where is the Lamb? He is before the throne in heaven. Where is he? He is before the throne in heaven. Now, typically, what is that throne? That is the throne of the majesty of the great, just, and omnipotent God, the judge of all the earth. Here is your secret into grace. Just because the Lamb is off the mercy seat, he's still before that throne. As long as he stands there, as far as I know, there's grace and mercy extended. But when he leaves, that's going to be a different story. Many people puzzle today. They say, well, are the people, is it possible people are being born again? Is it possible that people have come into this message and into the bride since the prophet brought the word? I can find no place where Brother Branham ever said a door was shut. Because he himself so rejoiced to know that a man fell down on his knees in that Youngstown Stomping Center in Jeffersonville and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And his words, to my knowledge, to every preacher, as they were to me, when he knew I was going to go to meet, he said, win all the souls you can. So as long as I see the Lamb before that throne, I believe there's hope. But brother, sister, when he descends, there's not a hope and there's not a prayer. See, we're in a different category in time. See. Now, then, where is the Lamb holding the book? Before the throne. What has happened to the book? All the seals have been torn off. Does the Lamb unroll the book and read it? No. There is no record of him doing that. What does he do with the book? He sends it down to earth. The seal in the big edition, page 111, paragraph 8. This book from which he tore the seal and did not open it to read it, he sent it down to earth. Quote, William Branham, prophet of God. So therefore, we read in Revelation 10. You may wonder why I'm emphasizing. Because some do not believe that this book of Revelation 5 is the same book of Revelation 10. I beg to differ. It is the same book. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, go to the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion. Who is the lion? The one who prevailed to take the book and to tear the seal and to read it. See? But it doesn't say that. He wouldn't have to read it. He wrote it. But he still got to read it. He still got to read it. That's strange, isn't it? He wrote it. Well, you see, I'm going to separate the two because I'm going to separate him as a man from Godhead. Go ahead, that's all right. You want to separate him on that ground? As a prophet who said, only what I hear him say, I say, then he didn't know it was in that book. That's all right. You can take it either way you want. I won't fuck with you. Because I'm no prophet. I couldn't decide that issue for you. All I know is there is no word that says he read it back there. But it says he came down to earth. And it says he's supposed to read it. And that little book's open. And he roars. He cries as a lion. Now, I want you to know, it didn't say he was a lion. So why do I make my lion? Now, we can get all wound up here in symbolic and fall flat in the face. So let's just stick to the word. It just said he roared and cried like a lion. Didn't say he was. Says he's a mighty messenger, doesn't it? So let's call him a mighty messenger. That's right. With a lion voice. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write and heard the voice of them saying, and he sealed up those things the seven thunders uttered right to not. The angels I saw stand upon the scene upon earth, up his hand to heaven, and swear by him to live forever and ever, who created heaven, things there and on the earth, and things there and on the sea, which things were there then. Time's been along. Now there it is. Now listen, is he the Lamb when he does this? No. He is not the Lamb. But he is the mighty messenger of the covenant with the voice of the lion. Notice, of the lion's voice only, but he is not the lion. He is the messenger of the covenant. See? Now, according to Revelation 5 and 5, and one of the elders said to me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Now, who is the root of David? Christ. He's Jesus Christ himself. It required the mighty king of all creation to even look on the book, let alone open it. He now comes down to earth as the one alone having power over the sealed book, which of course at the time he comes down is unsealed. The lion's cry signifies he has taken the book to actually reveal on earth what he had previously shown John by symbol, but without revelation, for all John did was report on the seven seals. That's right. It's all he did was report. Now see that this is correct. Let's go back to Revelation 4 and 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now he's caught up, right? And he sees the sealed book open, and he makes an accurate report on it. But in Revelation 10 and 10, John is back on earth. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand. What angel's hand? The mighty messenger of the covenant who descended to the earth. Who said he descended to earth? Because he puts on land and sea. Said he came down. Is that right? Now where is John? He's back on earth. Right? Certainly. That's right. Back on earth. Now remember, all of this is in spirit vision. Vision caught him up. Book open. Saw it all. Down on earth. Same vision. The mighty one descended. Books open. Lion roars. Seven thunders. John takes the book. So he's back on earth. Now watch carefully, please. Because in Revelation 10 and 2, the scroll is unsealed. Because this mighty one now on earth has his hand a little book open. See? The seal is unscrolled. The scroll is unsealed. The voice of the lion in triumph for having loosed it. In verse 3, seven thunders utter their voices. Now watch. In Revelation 6, John saw, I saw, I saw. See? I saw, I beheld. John saw. But in Revelation 10 and 4, John heard. This time there are no symbols, there are no pictures, but words. Before there was pictures, symbols, and very little said. And nothing in explanation. No revelation. Now what he saw in Revelation 6 with what he heard in Revelation 10 opens the book completely. Because once he looked on it, now he reads it or hears it being read. That's why the Bible said, blessed are they who hear this book. Huh? Sure, blessed are they who hear. It's blessed that he could read it. But it's mighty blessed for the person who's going to hear it. The seeing and the hearing opens the book completely, which is the actual revelation of this mysterious book. But the voice from heaven, turn to Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Oh, how they love to tell you, these mealy-mouthed people, that you heard from Christ once, according to Hebrews. Now in this past day hath spoken unto us in his Son, hath spoken. He doesn't speak anymore. I'm just going to be as sarcastic as they are ridiculous. if I can. My, what a tremendous task I have set myself. That's right. Now, don't say Brother Vail is sarcasm, not scriptural, because Paul was very sarcastic in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. Read it for yourself and find out. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, who spake on earth? Jesus. Much more shall we not, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, which it did, when he cried out upon the cross, into thy hands I commend my spirit, God, the chain reaction earthquake that opened the graves on Easter morning. But promise, yet once more I speak, and this time I'll shake not only the earth, but the heavens. That's the great tribulation. This word, once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There's only one thing that cannot be shaken. The Bible says that's the one who's God himself built upon the rock, which is revelation of the word of God. And I'll prove that this is the end time speaking, because he said, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. It is a word kingdom. Where it said, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. When you see consuming fire, that's harvest. Telling you right here that before Jesus Christ has a harvest on this earth where he takes the wheat and burns up the chaff, he's going to speak from him. Because you're going to hear once more. From the same one who was on the earth, and the earth shook when he screamed out at Calvary. He said, once more you're going to hear that same one. Sure. Oh, it says here in that fourth verse, didn't it, I heard a voice in him. Now, after he heard that voice, see, where? In spirit vision. See? Don't get any idea that this voice is already uttered in John's day. It was in a vision of things to come. So if you think this voice is past tense, you're mixed up as a fundamentalist. And this is the day, brother, sister, where the angel of God said, you dare not have your lines tangled up in a day like this. Well, you'll end up with a Pentecostal baby. But you can't teach spiritual teachers. Okay? Just quoting the prophet. The voice said, seal it up. Put the seals back on the book by not writing what you heard. Just let them know what you saw. So he did it. So the voice or interpretation of the seal went back into mystery. Now what happened to the one with the book? Even the mighty messenger, the lion who is the lamb. Verses 5 and 6. See? And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lift up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, what does that mean? First of all, what is this one swearing by himself? What is it all about? Well, let's try to find out. Deuteronomy 32. See, look, you've got to run parallel to Moses' day. Because we're coming out. Three times God spoke, and two times they failed to enter in. The third time, there's got to be a group go in, and they go into the millennium. So we got to type with Moses. Not just Elijah. See? Elijah comes to restore, but there's an exodus which Elijah did not have. But Elijah comes before the Exodus, so we got to type with Moses. Right? Okay. Deuteronomy 32. 39 to 43. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. Now, when's he going to do that? There's only one time he can do that. That's the end time. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh, that the blood of the slain of the captive from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with the people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. That's got to be after, or sometime around, when that fifth seal opens, because they're crying, avenge us, O God. And the fifth seal is 1, 2, 3, 4 times. It's not 1, it's not 2, it's not 3, it's not 4, it's 5. And then there's 1 to go, and the seventh seal is the seventh seal of Revelation. Because there ain't no seventh seal. Right? Well, if the great tribulation, my brother, my sister, takes place and we're gone, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the end of that great tribulation to set up his millennium, is the seventh seal of millennium? It is not the seventh seal of millennium. The seventh seal is the revelation of the end of all things and puts you in to the millennium. So ain't no such thing as the seventh seal per se. Oh, what a beautiful mystery. Everybody guesses and guesses and guesses and guesses. And they peek and they move, so they peek a boo. And it doesn't do any good. Because in Matthew 24, there is no seventh seal. He just says, take a little lesson from the fig tree, like I said last night. When Israel's back in the homeland, it is resurrection time. And resurrection time is former and latter rain time, which is seventh seal time. Glory to God. Okay? All right. Now, notice in here, he says, to render vengeance to his adversaries and be merciful unto his land. And you notice all the scripture in Joel in here where God talks about the land. The land. The land. Oh, absolute material things don't mean a thing. Oh, that land doesn't mean a thing. Oh, it's your soul, soul. Why did you shut up? Big fat mouth. Always trying to take away from the Word of God. You know God said he destroyed those that destroy the land. You know he loves this earth.
Amen.
You know that we are taken out of this earth. One thing I liked about Brother Branham, he never tried to out-God God like a bunch of legal. Maybe you're legal here tonight. Sister said, can I tip my hair? He said, honey, I haven't got a word against it, so must be okay. Oh, I might. Oh, shut up. Yeah, righteous bunch of sickening gunk. And I'm right with you. I'm just as rotten, self-righteous as you are. But I love the prophet who never tried to out-God God. When they fed him garter snakes in Germany, he wouldn't drink beer. They said, holy, 4% beer. Oh, glory to God. Hey, I read that. And suddenly he wasn't drinking beer. Oh, Brother Branham. You don't drink beer. Is something wrong? Oh, no, he said, I'm a Nazarite. It's over here. Oh, bloody hell. Put over here, Nazarite. Oh, he did that. Oh, shut up. Oh, look at me so sickening. Here's the Bible. Prove me I'm wrong. Go ahead. I'll challenge you. You look at me funny, I'll challenge you. I'm not here to have a fight. I'm pretty good at it. But go ahead and prove me wrong. Prove the prophet wrong. Don't try to out-God God. He loves this land. You know, when time is over, and it will be at the end of the white throne judgment, all those things gone on, he is going to absolutely recreate this earth. Just like he recreates these bodies that go down to gas. He's going to recreate and lose nothing of it. See? He talks about the land. Now, when are we going to go in that land? That is millennium. See, this is what he said. And it's here he said, he swears, see, I swear, I live forever and I swear. By what? The fact he lives forever. He's all of it. Now, let's go to Daniel. I want to just show you who this is. You follow me? Well, you don't think I'm too neat. because I'm very critical of myself, too. See, I got that self-righteous streak like everybody else has. Trying to outgod God and everything else. Why don't you just see what's gone? See, all right. Daniel 10, I'm sorry. Daniel 10, 4 to 6. In the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. What's the first month? April. What day was it the 24th? Is that right? What day did the seventh seal open? Not the sermon. I mean, not what Brother Branham got on that one day, but the sermon. When did Brother Branham bring the seal to us as delivered to him by the Lord? It was on the 24th, wasn't it? Of what? March. Now, what is March? If April is the first month to Israel, then the last month is March. Farmer, the month. There's a picture right there. The 24th day of the end of the year. What happened? It says, I was by the side of the great river of Hiddekel, lift up mine eyes, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, loins girded with fine gold of Ephah, body like beryl, face like the appearance of lightning, eyes as lamps of fire, arms and feet like the color of polished brass, the voice of his words like the multitude, like the voice of multitude, and I, Daniel, saw the vision, and so on. Now, we just leave that and go to the 12th chapter. And in there, in verse 4, old Daniel, seal up the words, shut up the words and seal up the book, even to the end, time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Boy, tell me, they never run more than they run now. You can go clean around the world one day or less. You got airplanes go 1,600 miles an hour and better. You just zoom around the earth, just know them at all. People run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. Absolutely fantastic. Look what they do with the computer, let alone the human mind. Today you can learn the sum total of human knowledge in a department. Or utilize that knowledge. All right. I looked and behold, there stood two. One on this side of the bank river, and the other side of the other bank, other side. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand, and his left hand unto heaven, and swear of him lives forever and ever, that shall be for what? A time, times and a half. Okay, 3.5 years. Not 7. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, and all these things shall be finished. Not the mystery now. Speaking to Jews here. And I heard and understood not. And then I said, O Lord, what shall these things be? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end, till the time of the end. The time of the end. Can't come before. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise. That's your wise virgins, you understand. Brother Branham quoted that. And from the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away and so on. See, now, that's your great tribulation period. Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Verse 13. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Saying, surely blessing I'll bless thee, multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. See? What did God do? He swore by himself. Who is this one to lift up his hand and swear to heaven? There's only one can swear by God, and that is God himself. Nobody else can do it. Just like we show you here in the book of Daniel, the book of Hebrews. Now in the book of the Hebrews, what did he do? The book of Hebrews said he swore by himself concerning what? The promise to Abraham. What is the promise of Abraham? That in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, and that also thy seed shall inhabit the land. The seed never did inhabit the land in rest. The promise still remains today. There is a millennial promise. And God has sworn by himself that the time of election and the seed has run out. And now it is time to inhabit the land again. Now, notice. Also here, in Hebrews 10,
I mean Revelation 10, it says that time shall be no longer delayed. Or time shall be no longer. In the Greek, it is time shall be no longer delayed, or time shall be no longer prolonged, or time shall be no longer. See? Now, what does that mean? Ezekiel, the 12th chapter. (clears throat) 22 to 28. Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Nobody. Why, the days are going on. Nobody really knows what it's all about. Nobody really knows when it's coming. Nobody really knows anything. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. Brother Branham said every vision was fulfilled. What does that mean? It was in effect. For there shall no more be any vain vision nor flattering divination with the house of Israel. For I am the Lord and I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and I will perform it, saith the Lord God. In the generation that the prophet comes on this earth and says, thus saith the Lord, that generation will not pass away, but that word of God will be fulfilled what that prophet said. And he said 77 ends it all. What word will not be prolonged? What word? The voice of the lion. The seven thunders. Now won't they? Certainly. That's what Revelation 10 and 7 is all about. In the days of the voice of the seventh prophet, all the mysteries of God. The complete mystery of God. The mystery of God. Christ, the revealed word, will be absolutely brought into full view and consummation in that age. The seven thunders will have to come to pass. Because he said, what I have just roared, conveyed by the seven thunders, will not be prolonged. It is over in this day. Isn't that your seven? Notice carefully, Revelation 10 and 7. The mystery of God shall be consummated and perfected as God hath announced the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets. Every mystery is fulfilled in the days of the seventh church age messenger. And since John was a prophet, those thunders must be revealed by that seventh church age prophet because his voice, it's his voice, the seventh church age messenger's voice, not another, that brings all the prophetic word mystery to fulfillment. That's right. Whatever was said will absolutely have to come to pass in the generation that those words were spoken. Do you see it now then? John was a prophet. So what John said as a mystery, seven seals, must come out at the time of the Laodicean church age messenger, for God revealed all the mysteries of all the prophets. Thus the seven seals manifested by vision and complete silence of seal number seven comes to earth as Jesus himself declares them by means of the prophet. In other words, Revelation 10, 3 to 4 and 7. Uttered and read and write them not. Don't write the reading of the book. And how do you read the book? With understanding. What's understanding? By the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Okay. And who is the Holy Ghost? Jesus Christ. All right? The seventh verse. But in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, blow upon his trumpet, and remember who shall prepare himself, and the bride has made herself ready. How should anybody prepare himself if the trumpet give an uncertain sound? For the first time, you will hear a certain sound. And the certain sound, you'll no longer know in part. You'll be that which is perfect as come. Can't help it, you see. See it all dubbed here. Now it says, the mystery of God, all of this, seven thunders, will be finished. Conclusion and perfection. Seven and three. Yes, sir. Seven church ages with Christ himself coming. As he had declared or announced the good news of the gospel, which means the gospel runs out entirely. That's right. Now, hear what Brother Branham said. In standing in the gap. But before, I would say that seven voices are seven thunders. And now we can see what it is. It is the seven angels bringing the revelation of each seal to the prophet for him to relay it to the people. Standing in the gap on page 12 and verse 4, speaking concerning Junior's dream and pyramid of white rock. It had to be interpreted, and when I came back, the first angel on the first night opened the seal. Contrary to anything we even heard, to ever heard in our life. And all seven came out the same way. Now notice, in verses 8 to 11, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, he heard it not in heaven, he heard it from heaven, he's down on earth. Go and take the book, which is in the little book in the hand, which is in the hand, the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in them all sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as they did, it was bitter, in my belly it was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. All right? This is John, not the seventh church age messenger. See? I know some believe this is the seventh church age messenger. If it is, it would be to me in a type only. But this was said to John. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to go to Ezekiel 2 to see if I can find something on it. And 8 to 10. But thou, son of man, we may read a little more, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. What age ends in rebellion? Anarchy. Fail to see it. Open thy mouth. See? Don't be rebellious like those fellows. You open your mouth and eat what I give you. Did they ever see Churchill open his mouth and eat? Sure didn't. Did they take those cracker crumbs that made a poultice and rub it in their eyes? They sure wouldn't. When he said, take my flesh and drink my blood, did they do it? They wouldn't do it. Now he said here, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, opened it up. And it was written within and without. And written therein, lamentation and mourning and woe. The open book signified the great tribulation was at hand, the judgments of God, of which the Bible said, behold, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah to the prophet. Because if I don't do it, I'm coming to smite the earth with a curse. The whole bunch of you lost off of there. See? Now, with that, let's read the third chapter, 1-5. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, and eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So open my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And I did eat, it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And he said to me, for honey of sweetness rather, he said to me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Now, I can see and hear a fulfillment where Brother Branham, typing, took the word of God to the people of his own language. He did. He didn't have widespread ministry in foreign countries. He did use interpreters in some places. But there is no doubt the last day message came to America with the setting of the sun. Now, let's transfer this to the end time. After the mystery of the seven thunders, what happened? The word has got to go back to Israel. So what do I see now? I see the Elijah ministry, after the opening of the seven seals, brought down to earth by the seven thunders, I see the word going to the world as it will, but definitely going back to Israel, just like it says here. I believe that. The word goes back to Israel because the fullness of the Gentiles has run out. Now let us sort of stop here and think of the opening of the seven seals in March of 63. One, the pyramid of seven angels came with a mighty burst of thunder, with the mystery of the seven seals, which were explained to us by the prophets and the word. First of all, white horse rider, the red horse rider, a black and brindle, all 41, the souls under the altar, the sixth seal of tribulation, that runs exactly as Matthew 24. But in the seventh seal, there was silence, because it cannot be revealed, or the devil could know it and counterfeit it. That's part of the great secret. There was not even a symbol given to John. Yet, on page 564 of the seal, speaking in the tenth vision, and especially the little cubicle, I'll meet you in there, this is the third pull, what he heard, he carried to the grave. The entire secret. Brother Branham said, just as this other has, that's the pyramid, and the angel of the sword, so this third pull, the tenth, slides right into the word. That's right. He said the vision of the tenth with the three pulls slid in the word. I don't see any word there for a woman in his prayer line taking up prayer cards, and any woman talking to people as they come out of that cubicle. To me, if that were a literal tent, and that were literal women, then Brother Branham boo-hoo when he said women can't preach or exercise thought. If that was a literal vision, it couldn't have slid in the word as far as I can see. I say, as far as I can see, if I see wrong, God's going to have to help me get this ironed out, because I won't fight anybody you're talking about the deep. I just want to show you something. He said it slid in the word. Now I want to ask you one thing. Where do you find that sliding in the word? You know what? He tells you the pyramid and the sword were symbols. They are. The pyramid, when he cut that top off, it was unrevealed word coming into Revelation. Not even written. But there, obscure, perfect, unadulterated, pure, white, virgin word. See? The sword was the word. Then what's the ten vision? As far as I know, it's the symbol of the seventh seal. Because the seventh seal didn't even have a symbol. And yet it was there. So therefore the seventh seal of mystery has to come into view sometime, because though it was not seen and not heard, it is real. So, the vision of the tent to me is the symbol of the seventh seal and the interpretation, the absolute impossibility of its duplication. And it's completely hidden because it is a spiritually revealed word to the bride and in the bride. Satan can't do that. He can try. He's been trying. He can't do it. On page 557, the seal, the revelation of the seventh seal is in a threefold manner. What happens is those seven thunders that he heard and was forbidden to write, and that's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders. The revelation seventh seal is in a threefold manner. What happens is those seven thunders that he heard and was forbidden to write. That's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders. Revelation, seventh seal. Page 556. The seventh seal is the end of all things. Time runs out. It's the end of the church ages. It's the end of the seventh seal. I think you might have meant seventh seal. The end of the Bible. Even ushers in the millennium. That's in the seventh seal. Prove it here. How could John see all the people around the altar screaming and praising God, which is duplicated there in chapter 7? Go to chapter 11. Yes, chapter 11 in Revelation. Seventh seal. Page 564. At the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God will be made known. We're at the end. We open the seventh seal. The brief. The seventh sealed book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders. And what's the seventh sealed book? The seven thunders. The Revelation 10. Question and answers, book 4, 129e. Have the thunders uttered, they asked him. They were revealed in the seven seals.
Amen.
That's what the thunders were about. The seven thunders had uttered their voices, and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was, and was forbidden to write it. He said, but the seventh angel, in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed. I'm quoting Brother Branham, by the way. So don't try to make him say something different. And the seventh angel is the messenger of the seventh church age. Now, what is it all about? To me, the seventh seal of silence, of which the tent was the symbol, and the interpretation was the revealed word to and in the bride, which is brought about by Christ the descended and manifested revealed word coming through human flesh by the Holy Spirit in the prophet. I said the Holy Spirit in the prophet, not the Holy Spirit in you and me. Now let's just cut out that kind of foolish thing. The Spirit in the prophet, not the Holy Spirit in you and me. See, a lot of people say, well, I don't need anybody, no man to teach me, because the Holy Ghost is my teacher. I concur with Brother Branham when he said, how foolish do you think God is? Do you think he put teachers in the church, which are men? Would you think it sounds like? I'll read again. To me, the seventh seal is a sign by which the tent was a symbol. And the interpretation was the revealed word to and in the bride, which is brought about by Christ the descended and manifested revealed word coming through human flesh by the Holy Spirit and the prophet, which in turn brings the word bride into manifestation, then the resurrection and the rapture, and then all the rest right up into the millennium. That's what it is. This is part of that thunder. See, because remember, when he saw the first part, 7 in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 thunders. To me, the seventh seal and the thunders are the same. Not any different. But he said so. And I believe I showed you by scripture paralleling that it's all the same thing. For Revelation 6, the seal, in symbol and vision, in heaven where they are, must come down to earth and be revealed word in Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And remember, God doesn't speak anymore to anybody but by a prophet. So don't try to change it. Prophet. See? And who reveals those thunders? Christ, the Lamb, the pillar of fire, himself, the prophet, the spirit of Elijah, through a reflector, a human being. And will another person do it? Never. There is only one man to do it. In other words, the mouthpiece. Now it is up to the Spirit to reveal it in and through the Bible. Now, seven seals. How long did it take? The space of about a half an hour. Now, some of my brethren take the 7 years of 1 week to analyze the half hour. Now, if you take 7 years to be a week, then year will be a 24-hour span. So therefore, a half an hour span will be cut down into about 7.5 days. And since the Word of God said that it was about a half hour and wasn't a half hour, you could chop it down short of a half hour and come out to the opening of the seven seals in 1 week, which Brother Branham did. See? From the 9th, what was it, from the 18th? What was it? April the 17th to the 24th, but the 17th he gave the breach. It would be the 18th, March rather. He would give you from the 18th, but 18th, like 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24, 7. See? I don't believe that, though. I never heard Brother Branham ever refer to time as, in the scripture, on earth here, in reference to the week. But he did say that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And he mentioned that in the field, I believe. So taking the day as 1,000 years, that 24 hours make 1,000 years. A half hour, not a whole half hour, more or less, if you take 30 minutes and divide 1,000 by 48, you get 20 and 40, 48 days. Which is almost exactly 21 days. Now, since God does everything in seven, that's 3/7, right? Okay? When did Brother Branham get the vision of the tent? In 1955, right? I believe in December. And he brought it into the church in January of 56. All right. If the tent vision is the symbol of the seventh seal, and the half hour in heaven is the complete seventh seal. And remember, he had to have a message. Right. And remember, he started serpent seed in 58. Although he knew it before. So going back to the tent and starting in 55. Add 21 years, and you get 1900 and what? 76. And he said by 77, it is all over. The space of about a half an hour is absolutely literal. From the opening of the seventh seal, starting with the symbol, he takes you into the millennium. Taking Daniel's week as one day per year, the seals opened in a week. Now, he's got for the seal of time to come into actual full fruition that delivers us into the millennium. It's over by 77. I believe that's just as simple as ABC. Not setting dates, but just putting where the prophet is. All right, let's go to Ezekiel once more. And I'll be closing right away now. Chapter 13, 1 to 23. The whole chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. That's right. Son of man. Typing Jesus Christ. Typing the end time prophet. Because remember, there's got to be a reappearance of that end time prophet according to Acts 3. Prophesy against the prophets that prophesy. And say to those then prophets that dropped out of their hearts, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, warn the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. How many of these guys that tell you in their churches that they know the word of the Lord, they have never had a vision? Now what's a vision? A vision, my brother and my sister, doesn't necessarily mean a vision like you and I think it, but according to 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, a vision is God talking to you. Because when God talked to Samuel, the scripture says he didn't show Eli the vision. Revealed word. See, none of them got it but an end time prophet. Thus said the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. The word of the Lord didn't come to them. Oh, Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes of the desert. A bunch of chicken feet. Oh, not eagle. Caretakers, chicken feet. Foxes don't take eagles, they take chickens. Quack, you know. Scratching the roof. Then like the roosters, only they scratching the roof, they haven't got enough brains for the crow about it. Oh, that was a good one. And then the hens follow. He goes, they go following him. No? That wasn't carnal. That's the natural stories in the barnyard. I've lived on a farm and a hen. I said that all my life I've seen chickens. Eat bugs and worms and manure and then crow bites. Like a dog licks up vomit like. He says, you've not gone into the gap, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel, stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. That's a great day of vengeance. They've seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope. It would confirm his word. Right in Chattanooga we had that. A man came down there, and he stood up before the Chattanooga crowd in 1958 there in February, or January, I forget, maybe February, March, I forget when it was anyway, somewhere in that area, February, March. And he said, I want to tell you, God entered my room in Lima, Ohio. And he told me the greatest revival the world's ever come. Brother Branham walked on that platform. And he said, there's a lying spirit in this building. He said, somebody just told you revival's coming. That's a lie. The revival goes. He said, they said. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying the Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them. They have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas ye say, the Lord said it, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and my hand shall be upon the prophets to see vanity and divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people. That's Hebrews 2. In the congregation, they sing praise unto him, and he's in the midst. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter the land of Israel. They won't be in the millennium. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Millions now living shall never die as a lie. Because even they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there is no peace, and one build a wall, and no other stop with untempered mortar. See? Sure, every time they started building a wall, somebody rose up and used untempered mortar. Wesley was right, Luther was right, and Pentecost started right, but they all went down the hill. Stand of them that daub with untempered mortar, it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great and great hailstone, shall fall, and stormy winds rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said, where is the daubing? Where was it they daubed it? In other words, where is the word of God you guys preach? We're right here in the tribulation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I'll rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones shall it. Well, that is a great tribulation. So I'll break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, so the foundation shall be discovered, and it shall fall and shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that daub with untempered mortar. What's untempered mortar? The unrevealed word of God. You can't build the house of God with unrevealed word. The only house of God is built by revealed word.
Amen.
The only children of God are born of the word. Listen, my brother, sister. At the end time, God's got to bring the dead out of the ground, which is a rebirth. It's a rebirth when God brings them out. But those standing are reborn by the word because they don't go down the ground. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, who lives and abides forever.
Amen.
Your whole body's got to be born of it.
Yeah.
See? Certainly. Now, it says here, to it, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, the Son of Man, set thy face against the daughters of the people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy against them. See? And thus stayed up the Lord God, woe to women, and so on down the line. See? He is absolutely going to be against those who are what? Against the one prophet that God sends, which is different to all the rest.
Amen.
As he said, don't let anybody tell you that you're receiving the revealed word of God for this day, and they're in the message that they come back talking about three gods and baptizing and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when there's one God, and the revelation is Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. So, brother, sister, as far as I can see by the word of God laid down by the prophet William Branham concerning the seven thunders and the seven seals, the seven thunders were absolutely in those seven seals. And the seventh seal itself is the great seal of mystery, which I believe started in 1955. and came into a full exposed view of the people by 1963. Pardon me, I've got to take that back. It came into its partial and almost near complete exposure in 1963, see, as it came forth by the prophet of God. Now, he also brought to us, he said those seven thunders faded, remember now, and they went into something which he couldn't interpret. Now, what is it you can interpret? A mystery, a symbol. He went to a symbol, and he couldn't interpret that time. All right. He went back to Tucson, and when he came back in 1965 in February, he preached marriage and divorce in a symbol. He did not preach it as people wanted to preach. He didn't. He would go over and over and over. I was absolutely confounded until I made up my mind that marriage and divorce was not preached as a carnal human precept. It was absolutely preached in a symbol of Christ and the bride, as it was preached in Thanksgiving in 65 in Shreveport. The invisible union, as it was preached in Thanksgiving in 65 in Shreveport. The invisible union and marriage and divorce is one and the same. And he came back with the symbol interpreted, which was, my people are forgiven. Those who follow me and this message have their sins blotted out. Not because you've been married more than once or twice. If God can't forgive you for that, what can he forgive you for? And to me, that doesn't even obtain. That's not in the picture. The picture is, it was Christ and that bride. And he came back with the great mystery, you have been forgiven. For what? For your adultery. Why? Because you've been turned. And now you're no longer married to the old system, which is dead. He's dead and gone, as he said in Shreveport. Now you can come and be joined in the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's only the third thing left, and that's the third pull in the bride.
Yes, amen.
I submit to you tonight the best I understand the Word of God. And I've not tried to give you one thing but what is absolutely in conjunction with the prophet taught. I say with him tonight, I believe it cannot be disputed. Have the seven thunders been revealed? That's what those mysteries were all about in the seven seals. There's nothing left that needs to be brought. We have had all we need to bring the bride to perfection. And remember, Brother Branham had a little theme song. And everybody took it wrong for years and years. They all thought he meant only believe. And you get healed. What he was trying to tell you was only believe the message. Only believe. When his wife said, Bill, I couldn't raise my hand. I didn't understand. He said, needy, only believe. What will I do? There's only one thing you and I can do, and that's to listen to everybody who wants to talk to you. If they believe different, that's all right. Let them believe different. Don't fuss about it. But to do our best to love each other.
Amen.
See? Don't be one of those that wants to run to a preacher because you figure he's going to say something you like. You ought to be ashamed. You go and hear somebody that may say something you might think you might not like. Brother Branham laid down one precept, and that is, don't go into cliques. Now we've done it. He said, don't start anything amongst yourself. We have done it. He said, don't let anybody else come in and start something. We've let it happen. We have not stood in love. Now remember, brother, sister, as it took the Spirit of God to produce the end time prophet, who was the one man who could prove that he was weak, it's still going to take that Spirit of God to abide by what the prophet laid down, so that you and I one day can prove that we are weak. That we can show that we are the adopted or the placed son of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we ought to pray for each other and to pray a lot, because this is a day of great confusion, a day of great strife. And I admit that I have a great problem myself when it comes to being very sociable and loving towards certain people. I admit it. I can read them like a book, like I believe my life is going to be read like a book. And I admit my eyes flash like pinball machines when I see what they do amongst God's heritage. It's wrong. I have no right to be angry because I'm not a lord over any of God's heritage. As long as I try to stay right, I've got to have a right spirit. About the best right spirit I've got to date is, I honestly try hard and believe in many ways I've succeeded, to let a fellow say what is right, or say what isn't right, to anybody he wants. But then don't let him try to get in my way of saying what I believe is right. Neither let either one of us get in each other's way. That's right. But go to the Word of God and see where we stand. That's what you do. I have no vindication, and no pastor and no teacher and no preacher has any vindication. The prophet had it all. We don't have. But we have thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord. So the best we can do, there's only one thing we can do. If I've taught one thing wrong according to what he said in this book, then you don't listen. But if I have said what he said, and it's in this book, and that's the best vindication I've got. And that's all the more reason to listen all the harder. Now I know there's one thing that you've caught tonight if you've been astute. And that is you'll say, Brother Bale, but Brother Branham said those seals opened with just one thunder. I know he said it. And he also said those seven thunders, the seventh seal, were seven thunders in a row. I know he said it. But I know he said a lot of other things in a lot of other places. So if there's any flaw, and I don't believe there is, I've got a conviction in my heart that the seventh seal was those seven thunders, which were seven distinct angels, six bringing those six seals, one at a time. And the seventh he called the lead angel. Some of my brethren say that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't say they're wrong. But I just say this, I have no scripture to type that Jesus ever came to this earth as an angel with wings. And the seventh angel had a great wingspan. But I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I don't believe it was. I believe Jesus coming was his appearing to and amongst his own by the descendant, revealed word, by the pillar of fire. Amen. By the prophet of God. Hallelujah. I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. But in studying this, I have something in my heart with what Brother Branham taught in many places. I believe the seven seals, first of all, those seven rapid thunders was what? The seven seals. Then came what? The symbol. Marriage and divorce. Where do you go from there? There's only one place you can go, brother, sister. And that's on to perfection, to the wedding supper. Because your sin of adultery has been blotted out. Because you've turned to God. And now you can enter the land. Because no adulterer can enter that land, lest the land be polluted. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Will have no tempter then. I believe, brother, sister, to the best of my knowledge, and I've done the best I can tonight. If you see a flaw, I'll be glad to hear where the flaw is. I don't pretend I got it all down exactly like one. But in my heart I felt that I went to God for an answer. Because it has been on my heart for going on to 1 year. I had to go to God for an answer. I read those seals. I read them. I read them. I read the seventh seal. Then I went to my Bible. And under the best inspiration I could get from God, I began to write. Knowing what was in the books and in the Word. And I have come up with my message tonight. I don't pretend it is thus saith the Lord. I can't tell you that. But I've done the best. And I do know this one thing, that those seven thunders have uttered. Because he said so. I don't look for another man. I look for anybody else. I can't even look for him to come back. I believe the third pulse is on. And we'll go into full manifestation in the squeeze. May the Lord bless us. Amen. In that squeeze to appear before the world as the adopted son or the the ripened wheat or the bride of Christ. Whichever way you want to put it. It's all one and same. If the prophet said, I don't call you church anymore. I call you bride. Your name isn't Sarai anymore. It is Sarah. The promise of the Son, I believe, has all but come in the flesh. The Lord bless you. Let's rise. Again, O Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealed word that came to us by the prophet of God. We believe, Lord, we stand in the last days with the last message. And now, Lord, tonight I pray that there be some little discrepancy in this message tonight. We both know, Lord, you and I, that I did my best. And I got this message, Lord, I believe from you under a terrible burden of conviction to help the people of God. Not, Lord, to vindicate myself, because I don't believe, Lord, that I would be that kind of a person. If I am, forgive me and make my heart right. But, Lord, I would really want to see the truth. And I hope, Lord, that I'm right tonight. If I've said one thing wrong, I've already prayed, Lord. It won't affect the people of God. They'll know how to take it through that filter. The word by the Holy Ghost. Revealed by the prophet, and it'll come out right. So, Lord, we've done our best now, and we stand the best we can. Help us to go all the way. Because your prophet Paul said, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe you will. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Let's remain standing. Remember, breakfast tomorrow morning.
Take every demon spirit from the people. May we be as Gideon, Lord, and the 300.